Well, and one of the things that concerns me is, you know, we've got 17 attorneys general, led by Attorney General Todd Rokita in Nevada, and joined by a total of 17 attorneys general, including Sean Reyes, the fantastic attorney general of the state of Utah. And they've weighed in and they've said that there is not a barrage of accusations. There's no unusual flood of accusations of threats of violence against school board members. Nothing unusual.
We're going to talk more about this, and we're going to hear this audio from Mike Lee. But I am most right now interested in this news conference that's ongoing, and I want to go to this as soon as we can because we have Attorney General Merrick Garland who's testifying right now. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. It's a packed day today. The DA in Santa Fe, Mary Carmack Altweiss, is speaking now. She just spoke right after the sheriff who announced that this has to do with the Rust shooting, right? And they announced that they have the firearm that they believe was used, et cetera, et cetera. And so now the DA is speaking to this, and I want to go, if we're able to get this, I want to go and
October 27th.
And get this press conference as it's happening. So this is the DA and the sheriff. They're saying the investigation will continue on this Rust set. Let's listen in for a minute.
Investigation is critical to DA review. We take the corroborated facts and evidence and connect it to New Mexico law. And we are not at that juncture yet. If the facts and evidence and law support charges, then I will initiate prosecution at that time. I am a prosecutor that was elected in part because I do not make rash decisions and I do not rush to judgment. I rely on facts supported by evidence, cooperative and credible witnesses, and I cannot stress the importance of allowing the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office to continue with their quality investigation that is both serious and complex. So at this point, we will open it up to questions.
What kind of bullet was found?
Sheriff, can we ask you, so you said that a live round was recovered. Based on the witness interviews that you've done, can you tell us what you've learned about how live ammunition was on the set and how it made its way into that
firearm? We learned that there was possible target practice maybe earlier that day. What have you learned on that front?
So I think what we've learned is we suspect that there was other live rounds that were found on the set. I won't comment further on how they got there. That's still part of this investigation is active, so I won't comment on how they got there, but we suspect that they are there. That will be up, it will be determined when testing is done by the crime lab in reference to whether or not they are officially live rounds or not.
Sheriff, how did two people inspect this gun and not notice there was a live round in it?
That's what we're trying to determine. The people that inspected or handled the firearm when it was loaded before it got to Mr. Baldwin, we're interviewing. And there's some follow-up questions that we need to do. So there's further investigation, further interviews, and we're going to try and determine exactly how that happened and if they should have known that there was a live round in that firearm. No, I said there was a total of 500 rounds of ammunition. That is a mix of blanks, dummy rounds, and what we are suspecting, live rounds.
Sure. What type of bullet was found in the director's shoulder that was recovered at the hospital?
Well, we know it was a lead projectile. It's still to be determined by the ballistic analysis by the FBI crime lab exactly what the weight of that bullet is, whether or not it was fired from that actual firearm. There'll be the riflings and things will be tested and compared. So there's a lot of testing that needs to be done to ensure that projectile left that firearm. And
sure,
so that's what we suspect.
Sure, as the man who pulled the trigger and as a producer on the movie, does Alec Baldwin himself face the potential of criminal charges? And if the DA could perhaps follow up with that as well.
That may be a question better answered by the district attorney.
All options are on the table at this point. I'm not commenting on charges, whether they will be filed or not, or on whom. So the answer is we cannot answer that question yet until we complete a more thorough investigation.
But there is the potential for Alec Baldwin himself to face charges because you have not ruled them out.
No one has been ruled out at this point.
Is Alec Baldwin considered a person of interest right now?
No, that's you.
he's obviously the person that fired the weapon. So we're going to continue interviewing and getting to getting the facts of his statements and the evidence and the case and possible witnesses.
So this is the press conference right now taking place. I wanted to hear that, especially from the DA. I think I've gotten what I wanted out of information that I wanted out of the sheriff there. But I really wanted to hear that from the DA, because that's sometimes the hazard when you're on in midday and you have a press conference that happens and you're actually talking about this later on in the show. You got to go to it because I need to know what's happening. So thanks for bearing with me. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. Good to be with you today. This is, good grief, it's Wednesday already. Is it really Wednesday?
It is.
It's Wednesday?
It is.
Well, I need to, I wrote some dates wrong today. I'm like, oh, it's Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's Tuesday. No, it's Wednesday. I have a lot to get into with you today. And make sure you go and follow our Twitter show account. What is it, Steve? Because I think you tweeted from it just a few minutes ago.
It's at Dana Lash Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't remember everything right now. I'm trying to go keep all the facts about New Mexico firearm law in my head. I would highly encourage you all, if you haven't yet, I would highly, highly encourage you to go and watch my interview with attorney, unlike the Twitter experts out there. And I'm going to be bringing some fire and brimstone on some folks here today. Andrew Branca actually knows what he's talking about. Unlike, I'm a Twitter expert. Unlike any of these people, I'm a Twitter expert. Unlike those people, he actually knows what he's talking about. So we're going to get in. We're going to get into all of that. We're also going to talk about what we have been. There's been some explosive things happening with the hearing with the Attorney General Merrick Garland as well. That hearing, pretty amazing. And we're going to bring you that as well. And then anything that comes out, the AG, the DA in this particular case, they're in New Mexico. It's Santa Fe District. The DA came out and said that they're still looking, they're interviewing people, they're having an investigation. She says that if the evidence bears out that charges will, and you have to understand, I mean, you and I may think that, and I know a pretty good amount of firearm law, and my friend Andrew Branca and every other attorney who works with firearms, I have spoken to seven in an off channel, not including our friend attorney Andrew Branca. They all are on the same thing. They're all on the same side. One of them is kind of like a moderate Dem based out in California, just to like show you that, you know, this is, and they're all reacting on just the publicly available information. So I don't want people, because I've already gotten some comments like, well, this DA, can she not see? Well, it would be irresponsible, I think, at this point, considering they're still actually interviewing people. I agree that it is a little bit early in the investigation, that you need to collect evidence, right? And I think it would be, just as I think it would be political to have a knee-jerk reaction charge without finishing your investigation and having all of the available evidence, I also think it would be political if all the available evidence pointed towards like a manslaughter charge and you decided not to do that because you think celebrity absolves people of responsibility. Which, by the way, there are some FUDs out there who apparently think that, and I'm going to rain all holy hell upon them today, because I'm done with the ignorance. I have not had my back porch painted red for 10 years because if this were me, Alec Baldwin would be burning my house down. This isn't about my dislike of him. This isn't about a political disagreement. This is about people who are in the Second Amendment community and people who are competitive shooters and firearms enthusiasts who have always preached about safety. And every time we've opened our mouths about safety, we're screamed at and called murderers. I mean, there have been, you know, organizations that like National Shooting Sports is Project Child Safe that have been smeared publicly because they are literally, they distribute locks through different police departments all throughout the country for free. And they have been scorned and smeared by the very same people who are now trying to absolve somebody of responsibility now due to celebrity. So I am specifically highlighting the hypocrisy, which I actually do think is dangerous, because there are a number of people out there who apparently believe that when you're handling a firearm, that you are not responsible for whatever happens. Those are some people's actual position. It's pretty unbelievable. So we're going to get into all of this in the latest. We got a lot. We also have the latest with Loudoun County. We got Virginia. We've got, oh my gosh. Here's the other thing. I'm overloaded today. The other thing is, I read this piece last night with the BBC. Kane, it's on my rundown. I am most looking forward to your reaction. It is on the rundown. And it has to do with the trans activist, trans community or whatever. I don't know why everything's a community. just like people, right, that are mad at lesbians. And they're mad at lesbians because they say if a lesbian does not want to date a man who identifies as a woman, then they are transphobes. And apparently it's at the point where that section of the alphabet community is so bullied, like they are apparently like there's like rape that's been happening and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, for real. So we're going to get into that. I also am going to get into how we're already living in a proto-communist society. I have a ton of stuff for you on that. Polling, we got pushback, education, Rona, more wokery, tech, all kinds of stuff. Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria with Krispy Kreme. So there you go. We got everything. Okay, so first up, and we're talking also ongoing about the Attorney General hearing, which is happening right now, and additionally, the ongoing back and forth with Democrats and Republicans in D.C. as it relates to budget reconciliation. Because this is why I'm like, I agree with Manchin on a lot, but he's still a Democrat. I've always said this. There's always been a caveat. There's always been an asterisk. And so apparently he's waffling on the billionaire tax. So we're going to talk about that. I told you. I don't know if the bullying is working, but, you know, there it is. But first things first. So here's the thing. So I'm amazed at some of this. And this wasn't what I was going to lead at, but, you know, there are certain issues that I'm a dork and I'm knowledgeable about a ton of different issues. And if I cannot bring you the best thing about it, then I will get somebody who does. You can always trust me for that. But on this, I am amazed because how many times have you all been attacked and smeared and ridiculed, so on and so forth, simply because you've promoted, you know, firearm safety? And the crazy thing about this is that now, apparently, that responsibility for which you have advocated is no longer relevant when it involves celebrities. And there are some serious FUDs out there, holy moly, that are pushing this. So we're going to talk about that here coming up. I just looked at the clock. I can't believe we're already like at this point already. So tons of stuff to get into today. You do not want to miss a second of today's program. With temperatures cooling off, don't let that stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Black Rifle Coffee Company is veteran-owned and serves premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. And with every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee gives back with over 6 million cups of coffee donated to veteran, law enforcement, and first responder causes in 2020 alone. The best way to enjoy freedom-filled coffee is with Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, and partner discounts. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code Dana TV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code Dana TV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America's coffee, Black Rifle Coffee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So I have been following this story, and it gives me so much anxiety. I don't know if you've heard about this, but there was, on the Spanish island of La Palma, there was a situation where you had a number of dogs that were in a very dangerous position because there was a recent volcanic eruption. The island had been battling lava flows for a month now. And it also resulted in a group of dogs who were trapped on the island, and there was no easy method of rescuing them. So people were giving them food and water with drones because they're awesome. And then there was an anonymous source that featured drone footage, and apparently, an NPR reported this too, apparently they found a safe way to get the dogs off of the island using drones. They don't know who is actually behind it. I think those people are the real MVPs right now. If you could give a real MVP award every month, they would be mine. So, this is funny. Heineken and Dos Equis said, we did not authorize the use of our logos nor sponsor the Michael Bloomberg Moms Demand stuff, because apparently they, Moms Demand in every town, did not get permission to use the logos of Heineken and Dos Equis. And so Heineken and Dos Equis slammed them publicly, distancing themselves, saying that they were not actual sponsors of the event. They don't appreciate having their logos associated with it. So I have always thought Heineken smelled like a fart, but I may have to give it another look after this. It does. Don't argue with me because I'm right. So the White House is not going to host Halloween for kids because Biden probably has to go back to Delaware. He is traveling. So this is from The Hill. The White House is going to be lit up, but there's not going to be any in-person event, no trick-or-treating, because apparently the president has some international travel plans. They said that they're going to be traveling internationally during the last days of October. They will not be hosting any kind of specific events. They're apparently going to be departing Thursday for a trip to Europe. They're stopping in Rome for the Group of 20 G20 summit and Glasgow for a UN summit on climate change. So the kids get the shaft because the United Nations gets the attention for the thing that doesn't even have scientific consensus, the theory of climate change. That's fine. Bill Murray has been cast in Ant-Man 3. Marvel has announced Bill Murray's cinematic debut in the Marvel Universe. So the tentatively, apparently the release date's like 2023. It's Ant-Man and the Wasp. And it's the last Phase 4 movie. And apparently, so you have Paul Rudd, you have Evangeline Lilly. And then now you're also apparently going to have Bill Murray. So that's at least what's being reported in a lot of different newspapers. So a lot of like the movie stuff and the comic stuff and all that. So very interesting. And lastly, the Team Canada kit for the Olympics that's coming up for the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing that no one's going to watch. It's from Lululemon. Nothing says great masculinity like men wearing some Lululemon. Woo-woo! Stay with us. Dana here. Do you enjoy a glass of wine with dinner? Maybe while in the backyard entertaining friends, unless you're in Australia. Well, let me tell you about one of my best kept secrets, the world's first extreme altitude wine club. My friends over at Bonner Private Wines are a group of Americans who got tired of those flimsy little icky wines that you find at a lot of supermarkets. You know, the kind. It's like a step above Boone's Farm. Cheap throat burning reds, the syrupy yellow whites, gag. They set out on a journey miles away from civilization and 9,000 feet in the sky to find some of the world's most remote wines. They almost died trying to bring you this liquid treasure. Pop open one of these bottles and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, and a little dark cherry. Plus, if you love steak and barbecue, you're an American, right? These wines make a great pairing. And today, you can be one of the first to try these extreme altitude wines. Visit conservativewines.com today and you'll get 50% off of your wine and 50% off of your shipping. No middleman, no inflated prices. Just visit conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
The actual lead projectile that was fired has been recovered from the shoulder of Mr. Souza. The projectile was recovered by medical personnel where he was being treated and turned over to the sheriff's office as evidence. We regard this specific spent casing and recovered projectile to be the live round that was fired from the revolver by Mr. Baldwin.
So this is the sheriff that just gave the press conference on the set of, in New Mexico, in Santa Fe County in New Mexico, the sheriff there. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Good to be with you this Wednesday. And a lot of stuff to discuss. And we're going to, here in a minute, transition to some of the stuff that's been happening with Merrick Garland. The AG has been testifying there. And again, before members of Congress. And we're going to go through some of the latest with that, especially as it relates to the timeline and the activities of the National School Board Association. Because remember, not every school board was on board with that letter that they sent. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But just to, and we'll come back with any updates later on in the program for those who tune in, in our second and third hours. But this situation, though, and I wanted to point this out because if I wanted to be incredibly snotty and mean, if I wanted to be as mean to Alec Baldwin as he's been to me over things I've never done, I would, and I would be able to very easily do that. But that's not my focus. My focus has always been about preservation of rights and also encouraging ownership and training and safe handling, right? That's like what it's always been about. And it really bothers me that there are people who are actually advocating right now that it is okay, because that's what they're saying, whether they realize it or not, that it's okay to not take responsibility for whatever you do with a loaded gun. And the same people who have screamed at me and who have said I'm responsible for everything under the sun, or have said you are responsible for everything under the sun, these are the same people who are advocating this. So there's some serious hypocrisy, but also that's just dangerous. You know, we have discussions right now. We've been talking for I don't know how many weeks about the federal government getting involved and trying to shut down commentary on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or Instagram or TikTok or anything else where people are not even pushing, you know, conspiracy theories. They're raising legitimate questions about this specific COVID vaccine, and yet it's classified as disinformation and their accounts are suspended on the basis of it's a public danger. Do you not think, I mean, these same people are the ones who also, again, blame law-abiding gun owners for things that criminals do. But do you not also think that it's incredibly, if you're talking about public safety, maybe you don't go out and advocate for lack of responsibility, or that you're absolved of responsibility for whatever happens with a loaded gun that you're carrying because of celebrity. You're not absolved from responsibility because you are a celebrity. You're not absolved of responsibility because you are an actor on a set. And this is something, again, I would highly encourage people. I sent it out in the email newsletter, which is why you need to sign up last night. The interview that we had yesterday with self-defense attorney Andrew Branca. He is out in California. This is his wheelhouse. He knows it quite well. Not only that, but I've talked to a friend of mine who is a prosecutor, who is actually a moderate Democrat, and he's a gun owner, a moderate Democrat out in Los Angeles. And it's very interesting how when the facts are laid bare and everyone's only specifically reacting to that which law enforcement has already confirmed, that which we've seen, whether it's in the medic report, which is insanely online, or the warrant, which has also been published, or in a lot of the video and the photos that have been released from the set, and a lot of the eyewitness accounts, because there's already been a couple of people of the members of the crew that have talked to the press. They're going on that information and they're arriving at the same spot. Now, whether the what charge they bring, there's going to be a lot of stuff that determines, you know, if it's, you know, because he was saying that negligent homicide, or negligent manslaughter, it's a charge. You're negligently causing someone's death is what Branca was discussing yesterday. And I'm sure that they're going to look into how the COVID protocol affected this, because apparently from what everybody that works in the industry, and I have a handful of friends I met actually through my late friend and mentor, Andrew Breitbart, that are actors in the industry and who work in Hollywood. And I've spoken to a number of people. They're like, oh, my gosh, like this is not the standard operating procedure from any set that we've been on, and et cetera, et cetera. There's going to be a lot of stuff looked at here. And additionally, they're going to look at Baldwin, who he wasn't just a producer on set. Like, he shared a story credit. Technically what that reveals is that that's like a, you know, he's like a head dog in charge here, right? He's not just the lead talent in the film. He's the producer, and he shares a story credit on this film. So he's given that attribution because he's, you know, basically from everything that is being reported by The Wrap and LA Times and Deadline Hollywood, you know, that's his set. Producers typically run the set. So it's like, who hired the armorer? And I know myself and my friend Nick Searcy were going gangbusters today because I'm so tired. Look, there's enough blame to go around, believe. And, you know, we are all bipedal sentient beings. So we have opposable thumbs and we have the ability to reason, correct? We have the ability to entertain, you know, two ideas simultaneously. So you can say that, yes, this armorer probably was a rookie and maybe shouldn't have had this job and has some level of culpability, but it's not entirely her fault. Again, it comes back to who's the person who pulled the trigger. I saw the story that kicked it off for me earlier today was this New York Post piece that was saying that they were going after her again. And they were saying that, this is the rookie armorer once made Nicolas Cage storm off the film set after firing the gun. And to my friend Andrew Branca's point, does that not just make Baldwin look worse? Because if it's his set, he's running the set. He's the producer. He's got the story credit. He has 40 plus years of experience on film sets using guns. Does that not make him look worse? And I agree. I think there's some serious PR effort to go and hang everything on this 24-year-old woman. Now, again, there's a lot of blame to go around. But what she did has nothing to do with the fact that Alec Baldwin and Alec Baldwin alone pulled the trigger of the weapon that he was irresponsibly handling and failed to check. And if anyone out there is like, well, I mean, shouldn't you just trust whatever the person handing you a gun says? If you believe that, you are too stupid to walk onto a range or handle a gun. I mean every syllable. I don't care who you are. You're too damn stupid. I hope to heavens you never touch a gun. You're too stupid. That's for grown folks. Seriously, I hope it stings, and I mean to be offensive, because maybe that's going to be enough to shut this stupid, irresponsible, and reckless advocacy up, that people don't bear responsibility for their actions. I don't care how rookie somebody was. It only makes him look more irresponsible, because part of his job was to know what was happening on his set, period. End of story. Do not collect $200. Do not pass go. He runs the set. LA Times has a great piece on this, by the way. I'm going to include this in your prep email. And they get into what that means for his responsibilities on the set. So I absolutely do believe that there is this like PR effort to really try to absolve him of any kind of responsibility. But it doesn't matter if you're an actor or not. That is your responsibility. Anyone who does not do that is too recklessly dangerous to be. If you are too stupid to know how to check your firearm, you're too damn dumb to handle one. End of story. You know, we all are out here, me and all of you, we all go out here every single day, and we don't bother nobody, and we lawfully do what we do, and we train, and we do our drills, and our firearms have never got up and hurt nobody, which I think is interesting from the soundbite that I played, because SUVs don't drive themselves and guns don't just go off. But we do our stuff, we do what we do every day, and then now we got people out there who are making our jobs to advocate for our right of self-defense harder because they're saying stupid stuff, like advocating for no responsibility for what happens. Oh, someone just handed me this gun. I just shot somebody. I didn't mean to do it. That's not an excuse. And it wouldn't be an excuse for anyone else. Politics and not recognizing that is politically driven. All right, so the latest with some of this as it relates to the Merrick Garland hearing. I don't know if y'all have heard some of the audio that's come out of this. There have been a little bit heated, some heated moments here. And you had Senator John Cornyn, audio soundbite 20. Man, he was really pressing Garland on that memo that was sent to parents. Listen to this.
Did you consider the chilling impact your memorandum would have on parents exercising their constitutional rights?
The only thing this memorandum is about is violence and threats of violence. And it opens with a statement.
But my question is, did you consider the chilling effect this would have on parents' constitutional rights?
To say that the Justice Department is against violence and threats of violence.
Did you consider the chilling effect your memorandum might have on parents exercising their constitutional rights? I think you can answer that yes or no.
What I considered, which I wanted the memorandum to assure people that we recognize the rights of spirited debate. And
Mr. Attorney General, you're a very intelligent and accomplished lawyer and judge. You can answer the question.
I do not.
The chilling effect that this sort of threat of federal prosecution would have on parents' exercise of their constitutional rights to be involved in their children's education.
I don't believe it's reasonable to read this memorandum as chilling anyone's rights. It's about threats of violence, and it expressly recognizes the constitutional right to make arguments about your children's education.
Oh, my gosh.
The senators are going back and forth for votes during this time.
So this was John Cornyn. Now, the other interesting thing about this is Dick Durbin told him that, oh, well, the people engaging in this kind of behavior that you see at these school board meetings, they're some of the same people that we saw dun, 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 on January 6th. For real. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So this is silly because even Garland agreed that a lot of the he said that the things that the board letter was talking about. I mean, he seems to understand that there's no reason for his level of office to be involved in this. And that's the thing. Somebody was trying to have it out with me last week on this issue. And I'm like, okay, well, produce the police report. And they're like, well, you're saying that it didn't happen. I'm not saying that it did or it didn't happen. What my argument is that if it is urgent and dangerous enough to escalate to the point of getting the Department of Justice involved, you better damn well have some receipts to necessitate that. Remember when Barack Obama was like, oh, that's just a local law enforcement issue. Well, now the veil has been torn. We see that it's all an effort to nationalize policing. This would go in part of it. Oh, the DOJ has to get involved. If there was something serious that took place, the local law enforcement would be involved. But nothing that local law enforcement is handling suggests that there was a death threat of that nature. Now, while I don't like the behavior that we typically see in progressives where they're like, we know where you live. And there was one guy who yelled that in Tennessee at one vehicle. That wasn't nice to yell, but that does not meet the legal standard of a death threat. And I kind of know something about this, having gone through the legal process with the FBI field office and attorneys that I work with when people have threatened my life and flown halfway across the country to break in my home to kill me and my family. So I know a little bit of what I'm talking about. And that's why I don't really appreciate people crying wolf and trying to say that loud and boisterous and even passionate disagreement escalates to the legal standard of being a death threat and necessitates the involvement of the federal government. We have a lot more on the way, including coming up. I tell you what, this is crazy. So we are already living in a proto-communist society because I got a list of things that gets into this. We're going to talk about this just so you're aware. And there's pushback against it, though, as well. We've got education, more with Garland. We've got a whole bunch of wokery. Man, you don't want to miss a single bit of the show. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Red meat, black coffee, truth-telling. The Dana Show.
What I was talking about.
Well, you keep citing news reports, and that's the most prominent news report that anyone in America has seen. That refers to Scott Smith, whose 15-year-old daughter was raped. She was raped in a bathroom by a boy wearing girls' clothes, and the Loudoun County School Board covered it up because it would have interfered with their transgendered policy during Pride Month. And that man, Scott Smith, because he went to a school board and tried to defend his daughter's rights, was condemned internationally. Do you apologize to Scott Smith and his 15-year-old daughter, Judge?
Senator, anyone whose child was raped is the most horrific crime I can imagine and is certainly entitled and protected by the First Amendment to protest to their school board about that.
But he was cited by the School Board Association as a domestic terrorist, which we now know that letter and those reports were the basis for your...
No, Senator, that's wrong.
Judge, this is shameful. This testimony, your directive, your performance is shameful.
Okay. That's not...
Thank God you are not on the Supreme Court. You should resign in disgrace, Judge.
Oh, I'm feeling that. Oh, I felt it. That was amazing. That was Senator Tom Cotton. Senator Cotton. Got to say all those T's now. That's a first runner up for the real MVP this month. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. I just saw this headline and I'm getting ready to tweet something snarky about it, wouldn't you know? The Associated Press says, breaking. The U.S. State Department has issued the first United States passport with an X gender designation. It's a milestone in the recognition of the rights of people who don't identify as male or female. So this is what they were prioritizing while Americans were abandoned in Kabul and no one in the department was answering congressional members' calls. God. Yeah.
So this is their gender strategy? Is that what this is?
This is stupid. Follow the science. Oh, for the love. It's pretty easy to tell, I think. Look, I'm not going to begrudge anyone for doing what they want to do in their private time because I don't care. I'm a busy person, right? I am trying to figure out like how to best get this chocolate ganache and these little skulls that I'm going to be baking for Halloween using the thing that Kane got me for my birthday. And I just don't have the time to get involved in everyone's life. However, when you're erasing women and you're trying to hijack the use of the English language with Lewis Carroll pronouns and everything else, and then now you're doing this, the State Department's focusing on this while people were dying and abandoned in Afghanistan, that's a problem. Just saying, it's a problem. Stick with us. We got more in store, more of The Dana Show coming up. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
America is the land of the free. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and supposedly freedom to choose. Never be controlled by money. I respect you for having some integrity and being your own man. A free mind makes its own choices, and an enslaved mind follows the crowd. Stand for something or fall for anything. One man can lead a revolution to stand up and fight for what's right. One choice, one word, one action can change the world. It's crazy how people hate you for being a leader. I hope your actions encourage many others to stand up and say enough is enough. Respect to you, Kyrie, and power to the people.
Ooh, that's Floyd Mayweather, one of the greatest ever, who is talking about Kyrie Irving and Irving's vaccine stance. And wow. There it is right there. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gents. I'm Dana Lash. It is Wednesday. It's Halloween week. Our bumper music will reflect that. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. And you'll get links to my Halloween bumper tracks playlist. Sidebar, if you're having a party, this is your jam. In fact, all of your jams. It's the best. No one else on radio, in talk radio, or in talk radio's history has had a better bumper track listing than moi. I will physically fight people for that distinction and win. So lots of good stuff there. Sign up because there's all kinds of stuff that's coming out, including everything as it relates to the Merrick Garland hearing. We're coming out with that. National School Board Association trying to walk back. Garland's not. We're going to get into that. And to Floyd Mayweather's point here, him talking about Kyrie Irving and Irving's vaccine stance. This out yesterday, a panel has recommended that the FDA approve the vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds. Now, that doesn't mean it's authorized yet. What it means is that there's a panel that approved it, and that does not mean that the FDA is going to accept that panel's conclusion. You know they will. But then the CDC has to basically do the same thing. That does not necessarily mean that the CDC is going to accept it. You know they will. And then to Joe Biden it up fully, they'll turn it into a mandate. That's, you know, usually what happens. That's usually kind of how that all kind of goes down. In fact, this is Audio Soundbite 5. This was Dr. Rubin, who this was one of the dudes who was on the panel. I want you to listen to what he says here, because this sounds something like Nancy Pelosi once said. Check it.
We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is unless we start giving it. That's just the way it goes. That's how we found out about rare complications of other vaccines, like the rotavirus vaccine. And I do think that we are going to, I do think we should vote to approve it.
I'm sorry, can I hear the beginning of that one more time? Because this is literally Dr. Rubin with the FDA. This is the guy, Eric Rubin. He is literally on the FDA's independent advisory panel. This is literally that guy. I just need the first bit of that, Kane, please.
We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is unless we start giving it.
Oh my gosh. This is the guy. This is Dr. Eric Rubin. He sits on the independent advisory panel with the FDA. This is what he is saying about vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds. You've got to pass it to find out what's in it. You got to inject it to find out what the side effects are. So is it wrong of me? No. To say that this sounds like they're signing everybody up to be just a clinical trial? Are your kids?
We're the experiment.
Yeah. And I normally don't say things like that, but this really sounds like that. I'm just saying. That doesn't make me trust that anymore. That's creepy. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of information out there, and I have... I'm just trying to think how deep I want to go with all this stuff, because I've got a lot of stuff, y'all. This is what your girl was working late getting all together. And sometimes I feel like I'm giving you just a sidebar to this. Sometimes I feel like I'm overloading you guys in some of the prep emails. And then the next day I feel like I have to back off. So it's not overwhelming. But yes, seriously, go sign up and subscribe. It's like $6 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. And you get all my prep. Not some of it. Because everybody else only gives you some. So this booster and the FDA with this. What gets me is that the New York Times literally just had a piece, and this was, I want to make sure I get the date on this correctly. So this was on, I want to get the date on this before I say it, because it was about how their advisors felt like they were pressured into okaying general population boosters, right? And I think I had this as like, so this is 25th, it's just the other day. And they said that there were a series of endorsements last month by scientific panels. And this was all about boosters. But the thing is that you had one pediatric infectious disease expert at Drexel University College of Medicine in Philly and a member of the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, Dr. Sarah S. Long, who said that these are not evidence-based recommendations when getting into boosters. And they were saying that they felt these are doctors who are giving their names with this. By the way, these aren't just like sources say. These are doctors who are like, yeah, I'm a doctor and here's where I do my stuff. That's why, I mean, I was like full stop with this piece. You have it in your prep email last night. They were saying that they felt pressured. Like, for instance, some said they felt that they had to vote in favor of booster shots of the Moderna and J&J vaccines because they had already recommended boosters of Pfizer's and they didn't a Pfizer's vaccine and they did not want to deny. And Dr. Cody Messiner, who is professor of pediatrics at Tufts University School of Medicine and a member of the FDA advisory committee, said, quote, the problem that troubled me is that we don't know if boosters are necessary. I have millions of questions. Why are we mandating? Because remember, what did the CDC, what was the headline that we started Monday with? Do you guys remember? It was from CDC. We played audio from Rochelle Walensky saying what? That they're looking to redefine their definition of being COVID vaccinated with having all your boosters. So that went to like what, four shots now? Is that four or three? Who the hell knows? Do you know, Kane?
I know three for sure, but maybe that is fourth. That's crazy.
But you remember that. That's what Walensky was saying with CDC. They're looking to redefine who is fully vaxxed. So this is giving, I get pause from this, and you know, that's normal. And then with that, you have the statistics as it relates to kids. And I mean, I have problems with mandating this for kids if they are, and I'm looking at pediatric fatalities with COVID by state, January 1st, 2020, October 2nd, 2020 or 2021. And these were the numbers that the CDC had used initially. They had it at data.cdc.gov. And this was, there was a story that was in Wall Street Journal because the Wall Street Journal teamed up with Johns Hopkins, and they looked at every single one of these numbers, because these numbers, and this is why I say that what the CDC cites and even what VAERS cites, because if you heard that argument that, oh, well, all these people looking at adverse reactions at VAERS, well, those cases aren't all vetted thoroughly, so you can't actually say that. Well, you realize that the cases with the CDC are not all vetted either. That the CDC, for instance, was using all of these pediatric fatalities, and they were trying to say that this was all attributable to COVID. But you know what they withheld? And this is what Wall Street Journal and Johns Hopkins found last month. They found out that every single one of these fatalities had a serious comorbidity. Like, they had cases of leukemia, like kids who had leukemia, and then that would exacerbate the issue. So they were trying to present this as it's all only solely because of COVID, like a bunch of healthy kids, nothing happened, and then they got COVID. But they all had comorbidities. And in fact, when looking at the data, and this is something else Wall Street Journal reported too, and not just Wall Street Journal, but there's, I mean, I could sit here and rattle down the list, but it's, you know, it gets in, it's beside the point. The point is, and I've linked it before, that the rate, the child fatality ratio is about 2 to 1 million fatality rate. That's what they were, that's like 2 kids out of 1 million. Because the reason being, do you remember in the very beginning of this, and they had all of these pediatric specialists, people who are virologists, immunologists, all of this. And in layman's terms, the explanation was that young kids have not physically matured, and this is anatomy and physiology, to where the receptors as part of their respiratory system were able to actually accommodate and have them act as like repositories or transmitters for this virus. And that is why when they went and looked at schools, this was before New York reopened all their schools. And this was probably about the time that I think our schools in Texas started reopening. But when they went and they were reopening everything and they were debating as to whether or not they wanted to do this with New York, it was New York Post. And I think even New York Times started down this track too. They were looking at the number of contractions or transmissions in schools. And what they were discovering is that when teachers were getting it, they were getting it at home. They weren't getting it from kids at the school. And in fact, they deduced that like schools were safer than supermarkets and everything else, which, you know, it kind of, when you're being conditioned to socially distance and all this stuff, you would think, well, wait a minute, that's where a lot of people are. But the kids were not transmitters. And so that's the other thing. And that's one of the things that a lot of these pediatric specialists in this piece in the New York Times had touched upon as well. It's what a lot of doctors have been saying in other editorials and on Twitter when they're not suspended for saying it. So that, I mean, if we're following the science, then why aren't we following the actual science? Because it seems like we're following superstition, not science. And that's a huge difference. I mean, oh my gosh, I have so many things here today, because Biden's going, I mean, he wants, you know, he likes the third vaccine, et cetera. And I'm looking at, oh, I have so much data. I have like fatality rates with children, the ages of 1 to 16, fatalities. And they had a number for, I think this was from December 31st, and all of these had comorbidities. I'm just looking at data. My point is that I think this is something that parents are going to have to look and weigh the risks of themselves. If they, you know, say they have grandparents that might be immunocompromised, or a parent that's immunocompromised, or a sibling that's immunocompromised. I mean, obviously you're going to make you're going to make a decision based on your own risk assessment. And I think it is so unbelievably ignorant and anti-science for other people to make the determination of your family's risk, to make that choice of your risk assessment for you when they don't even know everything that your family's dealing with, right? So that's like a, that's a big thing. And then also, why is it that if we're following the science, why is there no accommodation or any inclusion of natural immunity? And that brings me back to the soundbite that we played at the start of the program. You have how many athletes and how many NBA players, some of whom had already contracted and had COVID and have natural immune, have natural immunity. And there are numerous studies. There were what, eight? I mean, there are studies that are coming out of Israel, studies that are coming out of Sweden, Norway. There was a small sample thing from Oxford, I think that was like last month. I think actually Kirpin had tweeted this out, that we're getting into the argument that the conclusion from these, all of these studies, and the Israeli one was actually pretty wide, was that natural immunity is actually more effective than vaccine-induced immunity, which is not to say, you know, they weren't knocking vaccine-induced immunity, but rather, which I think is an odd argument to make from the people who knock natural immunity. So that's never actually included. So you have actual athletes and NBA players who are denied from even stepping onto the court and playing because they have natural immunity, which if we're following the science, well, then why are we demanding vaccine-induced immunity in people who already have immunity because they already had coronavirus? How is that following the science? It's not. Again, this is superstition. This is like witch doctor stuff. So, and they have the audacity to mock everybody else. We have a lot more on the way. I mean, I could really go down the rabbit hole, and I'm like right teetering right on the edge because I now have like another study. Actually, I have that one study that we were looking at that I just mentioned, the Oxford thing, that was a small sample that Kirpin had tweeted out. But I can put all this if you would like. If you want to be overloaded, I'll happily overload you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So Texas Governor Greg Abbott is banning male students who want to identify as female students and compete with women from competing as that identified with gender, which is protecting women's sports completely. I mean, I think if they look, you know what women did? Women created their own leagues and their own everything else. So transgender people who identify as transgender need to do the same thing. You don't take over the women's stuff, and you don't think that you can target us because we're the quote unquote weaker sex, as I've had someone put it to me in hate mail before. You can step off and fall down a million steps lovingly. San Francisco residents are hiring private security to patrol their streets in a bid to stay safe. It's going so well in San Francisco amid the crime spike that people are now terrified to go outside during the day. More than 150 families have hired private patrol officers to monitor their San Francisco neighborhoods because they've seen such an increase in crime. Marina District resident Katie Lyons, who is amongst those who hired patrol, says she and her neighbors don't feel safe. They can't walk alone at night. They're too scared. Their kids can't go outside at night. They're now increasingly worried about their safety even during the day. And one officer said his client base doubled during this crime surge. Unreal. Coming up, we are living in a proto-communist society already. I'll explain. Stay with us.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
In fact, we're taking a page from Terry's book when he was governor and when he'd be governor next time. We're emerging from this pandemic. We want to expand pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds, millions of free care students.
Jeez. That's, I don't know, nobody even knows what he said. That was Biden at an event yesterday with Terry McAuliffe. They're all trying to help him in this race coming up. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Yeah, they're all trying to help him in this race coming up. And it is, well, there's a couple, actually, there's going to be some races to sort of look at. I'm going to be so interested in seeing the turnout, the breakdown amongst party affiliation and also just, I'm curious because usually when exit polling, when they do exit polling, they always say, you know, what you know, brought you out, et cetera, et cetera. How much, Kane, how much of a percentage of that you think is going to be people who are coming out about school board? Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, you're going to have some mad parents. Or, I mean, sorry, domestic terrorists. That's insane. Now, what's interesting, Marsha Blackburn was questioning, going back and forth with Merrick Garland, and she noted, look, the National School Board Association has walked back. They've apologized for their letter, the NSBA. They apologized it, but Garland, when Grassley was questioning him, he's like, I'm not dissolving the school board task force. The NSBA apologized for the domestic terror letter. Remember, they worked with the White House, according to the Washington Free Beacon, before they asked for the help of the attorney general. And that's what was truly wild. But Garland was asked by Marsha Blackburn, and he had a typical word salad no answer, whether or not he was going to apologize for his memo. And he was like, no, not going to apologize for my memo. And this is what always gets me is like, why? That's a local law enforcement issue, and local they have the jurisdiction. This is not anywhere where Garland can get involved in. But see, it's not about that. It's about wanting to get involved and immediately wanting to just disregard the fact of the matter and just honestly cause trouble. Local law enforcement's handling it. They're handling it. But see, this is about using the DOJ, the office of the DOJ, to bring these parents to heel. That's what this is about. So, I had said before that we are in this kind of quasi-proto-communist society. And I was thinking of this when I was looking at a couple of different stories today. The first was the imposition of erratic penalties on lawmakers and journalists who were calling Rachel Levine, the transgender, the man who identifies as a woman who's transgender. So the platform sanctioned Representative Jim Banks, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, the website Not the Bee, which is just clown show kind of articles that are actually true, but it seems like it's satire, but it's not. PJ Media, because they referred to Rachel Levine as a man. But they said you can't misgender. Apparently, misgender is a thing. So and the revolution is complete when the language is perfect. So there's that headline. I was thinking about that when I saw that headline. I was thinking about it when I saw this video that had been corporately censored and pulled at the last minute. It was from Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. I don't care what you think about vaccine safety. This is particularly about the virus vaccine. And it was about the experience of a 13-year-old girl who volunteered for the Pfizer trial. But attorneys for Comcast apparently nixed it at the last minute. And they didn't really have, I mean, apparently not, it didn't really get a lot of attention. And they decided they weren't going to run it. Then you have, oh, but wait, there's more. And I'm going to get to this story a little bit deeper later. Now you have lesbians who are being called transphobic if they do not consent to sleeping with men who say that they're women. Mm-hmm. All real stories. We have this from Seattle Times. They are celebrating the firing of the Washington State University football coaches over the vax mandate. Chicago Sun-Times, they have an editorial saying end moral and religious exemptions for vaccinations. You have a piece on the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, declaring that the administration is planning to provide vaccine hesitant with education and counseling so that they have the information they need to feel comfortable getting vaccinated. That's what she'd said. She said, quote, there's a plan should these people not want to be vaccinated. She's specifically talking about, at this point, they're talking about police and government workers. She said, quote, there is a plan should these people not want to be vaccinated towards education and counseling to get people the information they need so they feel comfortable in getting vaccinated. I did not see that coming. You understand what I did there? No, you didn't. You know you're not laughing now. I'm sad. Thank you for the love. That's at least as good as a dad joke. Come on. You have Democrats' opinion. They're saying that the tax on billionaires is a great start. Let's do more. I have so many of these. Insane headlines. You have PolitiFact that's going after random Facebook posts. PolitiFact tweeted yesterday, Biden's faced a lot of criticism for high gas prices, but a Facebook post points out that under GOP President George W. Bush, gas prices were way higher. Except that's not supported by like actual, like the government tracking of gas prices. That doesn't make sense. And have you seen, too, the accusation that anyone who is hesitant, if you're hesitant to get a vaccine, what are you? You're called selfish and evil, right?
Anti-vax.
You're called anti-vax. If you don't want specifically the coronavirus vaccine, if you don't want to pay more in taxes to the government for things that are not actually infrastructure, you're called selfish, evil. Some people question the sanity of individuals. I've seen people called crazy for not wanting, for being hesitant about the vaccine or even hesitant about boosters. And I was thinking of this when I was reading a couple of different things here. Have you ever heard of the phrase called sluggish schizophrenia? How many of you have heard of that phrase? Because it's a phrase that was actually used in a speech once by Khrushchev, who said that he was talking about dissent. And he was talking about how people who were questioning the state at the time, how those people were crazy, mentally deficient. Right. There were a couple of, there was one great write up about this sluggish schizophrenia back in 2017. And they actually were looking to, well, they invented a mental illness is what they did. Khrushchev had said, quote, a crime is a deviation from the generally recognized standards of behavior frequently caused by mental disorder. Back in the Soviet, actually, this was like pre-1990s, the KGB would tip off. They would go to psychiatrists and doctors, and they would give them the names of dissidents so that they could have people be declared mentally unfit to avoid public trials of their political opponents. Because these statists, they really felt that people who questioned the state, people who questioned their leaders, people who questioned who they felt were the superiors of these people, that you had to be crazy to question communism. They said that if you're distributing, you know, criticism against anything, like, say, vaccines, if you're organizing political activities, like, say, protests, you're mentally ill. So it's weird because today the state says that anyone who doesn't get an injection of a solution from the government is selfish. And some of the criticism actually has been starting to question the mental stability of people who resist. And we always hear about this thing. Well, we got to have all of this done for a return to normalcy. Well, what is normalcy? Because more and more, it seems like normalcy means simply servitude to the state without objection. This actually, this whole punitive, and again, I think it was Timeline that had a thing on sluggish schizophrenia and punitive psychiatry. It regained popularity again with Putin. In 2012 in Russia, their psychiatry national manual included, quote, delusion of reformism as a symptom of mental disorder. There are a lot of parallels to see here with the way that dissent is treated by how the Soviets and even modern day communists now treat it, and how this Marxist culture here in the United States treats it with our government. And I'm telling you, this is weird. Like, you have the Attorney General classifying parents who are as domestic, you know, they're calling parents who are objecting to this domestic terrorists. The AG's not walking away. Even if the national school boards did, the damage is done. The AG's involved. You can be, as a parent, you can be called a domestic terrorist for objecting to institutionalized racism being taught in schools and pornography being treated as classic literature in schools, and you're considered a domestic terrorist. That is completely not at all unlike whatsoever what the Soviets did to people by saying that they had mental disorders back in the 70s and 80s if they resisted against the state. And we see this punitive medicine, this punitive medicinal treatment being tried now. The whole vaccine passport, that's not a passport for health. That is license to move. That's what I'm saying. We're in this like quasi proto-communist society right now. We're here. How much we slide depends on how much people resist and how much they vote. You can still vote. I suggest you do while you have the opportunity. I have a municipal election I have to cast a vote in here. But I'm telling you, what does normalcy mean? Because more and more, normalcy seems like state service without resistance. That's what it seems like. That's what they mean when they say return to normalcy. It's not the normalcy you know. It's the status servitude that they want. We have more to come. We got Florida Man on the way, and you don't want to miss it. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Imagine you're a family and you're visiting South Florida. And you just want to have a beach day, right? That's what Gabriel Alvarez was doing with his girlfriend and her 16-year-old daughter, an extended family. They were at Saturday at Miami Beach. And that is when 38-year-old Milo Richards interrupted the family's fun time by chasing them with a machete. This is like some serious Florida like machete murder and stuff right here. They were running for their lives. Richard came at them with his machete. He appeared in court on Monday, charged with 6 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. It was the latest incident in Miami Beach, not far from Ocean Drive, where another tourist was murdered while having dinner with his family by a guy who was apparently high on shrooms. Yeah, they chased the dude, chased the whole family with a machete. And he's making a mean mug. He's mean mugging it in his mugshot. So, I'm just saying, like, you can't be walking around and you can't chase people and threaten to kill them with a machete. That's just not good. That's not good for anybody. Good heavens. Man, this is also what I should carry. this, I don't know. I'm like, this man was ambitious. It's kind of funny. Citrus County man, a Florida man, tried to bribe the fire chief and police deputies to keep his unsafe haunted house. This is Channel 8 WFLA. They said the Florida man built a neighborhood haunted house. And when he got in trouble because they said this is not a safe structure, he tried to pay off the city's fire chief to ignore it. I've never seen the phrase unlawful haunted house, but I have now. Citrus County Sheriff's Office, they booked 24-year-old Paul John Cattucci on, just about 4 days ago, under a charge of bribing a public servant. His lawyer told him not to speak with Channel 8, but they showed what was left of the backyard haunted house. Neighbors called the city. The fire chief came out to give it a safety check. They said that there were a ton of vehicles in their right-of-way parking. They were blocking the street. during, you know, the operation of the haunted house. The violations, they said, were horrifying. They said that they had all kinds of fire and just general life safety issues, as well as a number of unpermitted structures. I don't really like permits, but I also understand, you know. Also, I think if you're dumb enough to go into a, just like a haphazardly constructed haunted house in someone's backyard, you're kind of accepting the risk, right? Cattucci said that he was trying to, Cattucci said he was joking when he tried to bribe the fire chief, but the sheriff was like, yeah, bribery isn't a joke, though. So he's facing a felony bribery charge. That's crazy. I mean, I understand, like, everybody wants to be like that house in the neighborhood, but you can't be doing, you know, with that. A Miami dog show descended into a massive brawl after a Florida woman demanded refunds when her dog lost. Oh my gosh. Come on, people. I love dogs, but this is kind of crazy. Have you seen the video of this? It's nuts. I mean, everybody was throwing punches and kung fu fighting. It was nuts. It escalated to the nth degree. No arrests were made. Thankfully, there were no injuries reported. It was brought under control in about 5 minutes, but they had to shut down the rest of the event. And apparently, some lady got mad because her dog didn't win a prize. Well, get over it, Cynthia. Okay? We got a lot more on the way. You don't want to miss a thing. More of The Dana Show coming up. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, that everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit Legacy. Letter P, letter M, investments.com.
Just to look how he's closing his campaign. He's gone from banning a woman's right to choose to banning books written by a Pulitzer Prize and Nobel Prize winning author, Toni Morrison.
Except he didn't do that. That was like debunked. How many times does that have to be debunked? Stop it. Jiminy Christmas, it was debunked like a million times. Quit. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Whoo, boy, I've got so much stuff for you today. And I'm going to try to hit like some of the other remaining big things this hour. But welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Go subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse, on Substack. And a lot of good stuff that goes out in that. And happy Wednesday. I'm still shy. I keep like hesitantly saying Wednesday because I'm like, are we sure it's not Tuesday? Feels like Tuesday. Oh my gosh, that was some of the best. I've been watching this Merrick Garland as well, the hearing, the ongoing hearing. And he, apparently Ted Cruz just ate his soul. It's like a 9 minute bit. So Kane's previewing it right now. But apparently it was pretty, because I saw Cruz making his angry face, right? And he was making his like lawyer, I am just reading you the Riot Act, angry face. And I'm like, ooh. This is some good stuff. This, because we like it when the drama kind of happens with this stuff. We like it when people who need to get told, right? So I'm very satisfied about that. So that's what was happening. And from everything that I'm hearing, even from Democrats, like he was stammering. He was not prepared to handle some of these questions. And I think, and there were also a couple of Democrats too, who were very, They weren't harsh, but they were critical. And so he and let me throw this to you. If you want to, let me set this up and you can get it ready to play. So this was when Ben Sasse, who will not remove me, by the way, from their email listing thing. I'm like, I don't need every time you blink. I don't need a press release about this. Stop. Heaven forbid. But Ben Sasse was questioning Garland. And Garland said that we had received a letter from the National Association of School Boards, And Sasse was like, no, this was not, because the way that Garland was talking about it, it was almost like it was unsolicited and he had no idea. And Sasse was like, no, hold up. You knew this letter was coming because they had worked. It came out that they were working with the White House on this letter. Listen.
We received a letter from the National Association of School Boards. No reason to believe.
You didn't receive an anonymous letter. White House political staff co-wrote it with this organization, which is why the organization has rejected it. You know these facts now to be true, and yet you still won't disavow your memo. Why? You didn't receive some objective, neutral letter because all these people were being threatened. You are responding to a political campaign to politicize the Department of Justice. How big is the threat that American parents pose right now? When you lead a big organization, you have 100,000 plus employees. You have a lot of violence to go after. Are parents at school boards one of the top three concerns you face right now?
My ears are ringing from that slap. Give me a moment. Good heavens. So that was, and he's right though. He's completely correct on that. We're going to have more of that here. Oh, really quickly though. Let's play Blackburn. We got Blackburn. You had Blackburn. If you don't have it, I can come back to it. Cause I plan on coming back to it. Well, we'll play that here in a bit and we'll get the cruise thing because I want to make sure that I get to some of this other stuff too.
I have a shorter cruise clip if you want to go to the...
Okay, yeah, hit me with a shorter cruise clip. We have so much stuff. There's been a lot of good moments, folks.
Something else. A big part of this letter is that they're upset about parents not wanting critical race theory taught. Your son-in-law makes a very substantial sum of money from a company involved in the teaching of critical race theory. Did you seek and receive a decision from an ethics advisor at the Department of Justice before you carried out an action that would have a predictable financial benefit to your son-in-law?
This memorandum is aimed at violence and threats.
I just asked a question. Did you
seek an ethics opinion? It has no predictable
effect. Did you seek an ethics opinion?
It has no
predictable. Did you seek an ethics opinion? Judge, you know how to ask questions and answer them. Did you seek an ethics opinion?
You asked me whether I sought an ethics opinion about something that would have a predictable effect on something. This has no predictable effect in the way that you're talking about.
So if critical race theory is taught in more schools, does your son-in-law make more money?
This memo has nothing.
If critical race theory is taught in more schools, does your son-in-law make more money? Yes or no?
This memorandum has nothing to do with critical race theory.
Will you answer if you sought an ethics
kind of curriculum?
Will you answer if you sought an ethics?
I am answering the best I can.
Yes or no? Did you seek an ethics opinion?
This memorandum has nothing.
Did you seek an ethics opinion?
This memorandum has nothing to do with.
General, are you refusing to answer if you sought an ethics opinion?
I'm telling you that there's no possible.
So you're saying no? Just answer it directly. You know how to answer a question directly. Did you seek an ethics opinion?
I'm telling you that if I thought there was any reason to believe there was a conflict of interest, I would do that. But I cannot.
Why do you refuse to answer the question? Why won't you just say no?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're not going to answer the question?
I'm sorry. Ask the question again.
Did you seek an ethics opinion?
I'm saying again, I would seek an ethics opinion.
So no is the answer, correct?
There was a
Senator, your time is up.
Oh, my gosh.
Let the record reflect the Attorney General refuses to answer whether he sought an ethics opinion. And apparently ethics are not a terribly high priority in the Biden Justice Department.
Oh, my gosh. That was just, he was murdered. I'm telling you, this is serious stuff. I mean, this is serious stuff. You know, you had Terry McAuliffe out there. I mean, just the timing of this. You had Terry McAuliffe out there. He was, look, people appreciate teachers. I'm tired of having to kiss everybody's butts because their feelings get hurt if you don't sit here and be like, you didn't backpat me today. Shut up. I don't get back. Sometimes the only backpats I get are from myself. But he's like, oh, you guys are the real heroes. Schools were shut down for a year there. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on. So I got to get to you guys. I got to get this is some nutty stuff, pun intended. So did you see, I know Kane saw it. Well, now he did, at least. This story from the BBC. Here we go. This is how bad the wokery is getting, right? This is how bad the progressive patriarchy is becoming. So men who identify as women are insisting that lesbians should sleep with them. For real. So the BBC, I'm not going to read you everything in this piece, but they're saying lesbians are transphobic if they do not want to sleep with trans women. And they've interviewed tons of women for this. And a lot of the women were saying that, that, you know, they're not attracted to dudes. It doesn't matter if you have the outward appearance of a female, if you still have your dude bits. And even if you changed your dude bits, that doesn't change. They were like the jawlines, the, you know, all kinds of stuff. But what is this abusiveness that now, I thought that these people are embracing the, like, trans, some of these hardcore trans activists are embracing. Because I knew that lesbians were feuding with the trans, I knew that the, one of the letters in the alphabet was feuding with the other letter. But now it's to the point where if you don't just consent, then you're considered transphobic. And they were saying that I read some of these women, some of their accounts, and honestly, it feels like they were brainwashed. Like, this one woman was so badgered by this man who identified it as a woman that she just gave up fighting him. And she said that she hated every moment and she felt bad and ashamed because he was still a man in every way. And that whenever they, they're attacked whenever they do like their marches and that, they are attacked. And sometimes people get in their faces and that, like, and these are like trans activists that are trying to pressure them into accepting. I mean, wait, so if you're a man, this is like what the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing was about, because like he was out there saying, yeah, you know, well, he was saying that he was still attracted to women. And that's what all these people were saying this whole time, that you can, a dude can identify as a woman, but still be attracted to women. Right. And that's one of the objections that a lot of women have about the restroom situation. Right. And the fitting room situation. And so the idea that, I mean, if you're a dude who identifies as a woman, but yet you're attracted to women and you're trying to pressure this, like, do we not see the disconnect here? You don't have a right to vagina. Okay. You don't. Just newsflash. Okay. Are you all right? Okay, what?
I just have
you're
some,
festering.
I just
why?
Have unpopular thing to say.
What
about
is your unpopular thing to
I
say? Mean,
I think it rises to the level of mental disorder. It's a mental disorder, especially if you're insisting that you not only accept their made-up identity, but further insist that lesbians are TERFs because they don't sleep with you. This is a mental disorder. And I think we should treat it as such, because this is getting completely out of hand. It's getting to the point where we're accepting this mental disorder, and now there's a whole domino effect of social problems that follow.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. It's a mental disorder. The transgender idea, when it goes this far, it's a mental disorder.
They have all scores and scores and scores of women in this article, and I've seen them online too, where they talk about the abusive misogyny. And I will have to say that of my acquaintance, I know, and it's because we have a common view on self-defense. There are a couple of people, men who identify as women, who are not like this. But excluding them, all of the other interactions that I've ever had with trans activists have been horrifically misogynistic. I mean, horrifically misogynist. Some of the worst misogyny that I have ever experienced as a woman has been at the hands of trans activists. I've had men tell me that I don't know what it's like to be discriminated against as a woman. And I'm just like, excuse me? Or I don't know what it's like to live in fear as a woman. I've actually had people say these things and type these things in public forums like Twitter and Facebook to me. And I'm like, get over it. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Are you serious? Someone else told me that I don't have a right to any kind of right to privacy in any kind of public restroom. I mean, this is like really, this is what I talk about with protections for women. And when I say horrifically, the reason I underscore that so much is because a lot of them use The left would, I don't think that language itself is violent, but they are very abusive in their language to the point where I wouldn't be surprised if they were violent people. The ones that I've interacted with. I mean, I've seen it. And by the way, I have seen some women who are lesbians on social media. I've seen some of the stuff that's been thrown at them by trans activists. There was one individual that was a mutual acquaintance, and this had to do, usually, I mean, there's always some common ground, whether it's Second Amendment or whether it's like, you know, taxes, there's always something. And they actually had to close their account on Twitter because the abuse was so bad. It's insane. This is abusive.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh my gosh, I have so many things here that I can't even. So let me touch on this. So the Rittenhouse self-defense case, I don't know if you all saw this yesterday. I had it to get into, and it's something that we have all this stuff with the hearing going on right now. So the circuit judge, Bruce Schroeder cautioned the defense team against using pejorative terms during opening statements. And he also, apparently, the rule came out that they can't refer to the rioters that had been pursuing Rittenhouse and Rittenhouse shot in self-defense. They cannot refer to them as victims in the courtroom. That I thought was kind of interesting. So we're watching this case, and we'll talk more about it here this week. Interesting if you compare this to the Baldwin thing too, by the way. Also, Facebook papers. Documents reveal internal fury and dissent over Facebook policies, according to NBC News. That whistleblower is still pushing. I still think that you need to be super, super careful about allowing any kind of government regulation. I have like friends now trying to argue with me about the 230 stuff, which is like a whole other thing. Clay shooting sports are now the fastest growing school sport. It is so fun, too. It's a school sport where everyone can participate, where everybody has equal footing, where kids in wheelchairs can beat the, you know, the school jock. It's amazing. Girls can beat guys. It's really about hand-eye coordination. It's about those technical skills. It's the clay shooting program, and it is one of the fastest growing sports. It is the fastest growing school sport now, which is amazing. Stay with us because we have a lot more on deck. The latest with the hearing, the latest with education as well, coronavirus, pushback, so much. Don't go anywhere.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
General Garland, thank you for being with us today. I have to tell you that it is with much disappointment that I have watched the DOJ be so politicized. And the way things have been carried out, when you look at the memo to parents, you've heard a lot about that today, and it's because we're hearing a lot about that. And I just have to ask you, knowing that you really helped bring to justice those that caused the Oklahoma City bombing, would you really honestly put parents in the same category as a Terry Nichols or a Timothy McVeigh?
My God, absolutely not.
Then why would you ever release a memo? I mean, did you write that memo? Did staff write that memo? What would have led you to do this? It is so over the top.
Senator, there's nothing in the memo that in any way draws any comparison, anything like that. This memo is about violence and threats of violence.
I have to tell you that may be your opinion. And you know, many times perception is reality. And reading that memo myself, Tennesseans reading that memo, what they found in that memo, what they heard you say, was if you show up and you question these school boards, you will be deemed a domestic terrorist.
True story. That's Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee grilling Merrick Garland in the ongoing hearing there. He's not been doing so well. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. The couple of other things, the IRS data collection proposal is apparently still included in the talks on reconciliation. But now they want to narrow it further and focus it only on people who make over 400K a year. Still, nope. Don't think so. Still not doing it. All right. So, goodness. And apparently, they're trying to get Joe Manchin to flip on that stuff. They've been trying to, he's been kind of going back and forth on some of this and waffling a little bit back and forth. At least that's what it's being, that's what Axios is saying. That he's telling people he's concerned about the billionaire tax. He wants more decision. He wants more details before he makes a decision. They're trying to say stuff to satisfy cinema, but that not may not necessarily be acceptable to Manchin. Meanwhile, speaking of Kyrsten Sinema, they've been going after her hardcore. There was video of her walking out of an airport. She was walking in D.C. She was with Tim Scott. And she was in the middle of a conversation with Tim Scott, and some activist decides to run up and try to interrupt her. And she tells Scott, you know, I'm really sorry about this. And so now they are positioning it as Kyrsten Sinema doesn't talk to her constituents. Or maybe the activist who ran up to her is a jackwagon and incredibly rude and decides to immediately run up and interrupt someone in the middle of a conversation instead of patiently waiting there, you know, to have it turn to speak. That's just, if you want to have a discussion as to what is or is not ridiculous, that's what I think is ridiculous. They've also been going at her because she apparently wore, ladies and gentlemen, in earth-shattering news, a denim vest. She wore a denim vest yesterday while presiding over the Senate. Denim vest. That's all I heard from feminists yesterday. The website named after a whore that was yeeted out of a window, Jezebel, they went at her and said that she can't believe she wore a denim vest, denim is so blah, 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 but also simultaneously don't judge women for what they wear. They had whole pieces about that as it relates to Hillary Clinton. So the pantsuit was off limits, but her denim vest was apparently okay. And then you had all of the DC reporters falling all over themselves going, you can't wear denim on the floor. Well, she wasn't wearing jeans. She was wearing a denim vest. But sure, make that your main focus. I'm here. I'm watching. It's okay. Just do it all day. It's fun. We're all watching eating popcorn. Go ahead. And I love the people who think that they're going to go after Joe Manchin and be like, we're going to challenge you in a primary if you don't do. You will never have another Democrat win that seat if Joe Manchin isn't in it. I promise you. I promise you. You will never, ever, ever get another Democrat in that seat. But he knows. He knew how to play it. He's the last Democrat. People aren't there going to support no new Democrat. That place went for Trump by like what? Plus 20? West Virginia was like plus 20? Over that, actually. Now I'm looking at it. They're never going to go for a Joe Biden type Democrat. You get Joe Manchin out of there, you're never, Democrats won't. In fact, Manchin has probably helped Biden more than Democrats want to admit. Telling you. So lots of stuff. There's a lot of things here that we've been looking at today. Missouri also broke from the National School Board Association. There were a couple of schools who did over the inflammatory letter that targeted parents. Yesterday, Loudoun Public Schools, students had a walkout. They had their walkout. I believe it was Monday. I said that the media finally found a student walkout that it didn't like. It's true. How many places like gave like saturated coverage to that walkout? Normally they it's totally saturated. They protested the sexual assault. They walked out for it. Looking at coronavirus, California County shut down another In-N-Out over the vaccination mandate. True story. So they said, we won't be the vaccination police for any government, according to In-N-Out's top attorney. Contra Costa County officials shut down their Pleasant Hill location. Now, you have two other In-N-Outs in the area. They've been given fines and warnings. They have to check a person's vaccination status before they eat their hamburger. Did you get injected with a government solution? Did you get injected? Oh, then you can't eat this hamburger. So now the county of Contra Costa can't, they, They're shutting them down. Oh, there's exception to alcohol. Yeah, of course there is. And Krispy Kreme. Did you hear about this? They use soy lectin, and I don't like that. Krispy Kreme is now mandating vaccinations for their employees. They said, the Epoch Times was reporting this too. They were saying that if you employees need to be vaccinated or by November 30th or be terminated. Mm-hmm. John Richardson, who is an information technology employee with Krispy Kreme, told the press, quote, since when does a company built on sugar get to dictate the healthcare decisions of its employees, end quote.
Exactly.
I mean, Kane, what is a top comorbidity? What is the top comorbidity factor for coronavirus fatalities?
That would be obesity.
Mm.
Obesity.
What are donuts made with a lot of?
Obesity? No. Of course, sugar and
yes.
fat.
True. So maybe they shouldn't. I just think that if it's about health, you know, isn't it? It's about health and science. Then maybe people should avoid Krispy Kreme. Since obesity is a top coronavirus fatality comorbidity, so maybe just avoid, especially like donuts that have soy lectin in them, which isn't totally great for you. Not at all. So they're now doing it. And they were giving, remember they did their vaccination campaign in March? People got the shot, they got a donut. I knew this was coming. Yeah. I knew it was. I don't like their donuts anyway, because I don't like the soy. People who have like allergies to soy lectin, my husband has an allergy to unfermented soy lectin and soy proteins. And so he can't eat them anyway. I don't like things with soy in them. I just don't think it's healthy. And it's a donut that's made mostly probably with like processed sugar. So just saying. I mean, if you guys would be like that, go right ahead and be like that. There's a lot of other places that don't do that. I'm sure you all have like a bunch of local donut shops in your areas. Like, just get from there. It's actually easy to make it at home too. So that's they're really, really pushing it. They're really pushing it. And so now we had the whole thing with dogs, and I can barely bring myself to talk about it. Here, let me get to this headline first, because Apple Wallet, now you can add your COVID Vax Pass, which is really a license to travel. It's not a vaccine pass. You can add it to the Apple Wallet. They'll arrest people for using illegal vaccine cards, but not for crossing the border. They'll arrest people, and they've done it for because it's a government document. So it's they will get you for it. You're arrested if you fake a vaccine card, but not if you're rioting or looting, not if you're crossing the border illegally. But if you fake your vaccine card, then you're going to get in trouble. So stupid. This is so dumb. Ugh. Okay, so the NIH is now accused. I don't even want to click this link because I can't get it to where the photos don't come up. You saw the thing about the puppies. Now apparently they were using $100 million of our money, torturing also lab monkeys with acid and snakes. Ron DeSantis called for Fauci to quit after he was revealed to have funded the testing on the beagles. I'm alive. I tell you what, I just find that so horrifically cruel. Those sweet little beagles. You guys know I am a nut about dogs. I find that heinous, and it's so awful that beagles are targeted because they're the sweetest and most docile of all of the breeds. That's why they're targeted so much. Beagle Rescue is a group that specifically with beagles. And we've had on their guy before, but they've done a lot. They've been doing this and fighting with NIH, apparently. Beagle Freedom Project is their website. It's BFP, BeagleFreedomProject.org. They have like a whole thing on NIH when you go to their website. They at BFP.org, they have a whole thing on all the stuff that Fauci's NIH has done with beagles. It's awful. I mean, there's a reason why I haven't talked about it on air, because I get too passionate about this. Because I just think, you know, I don't care if it's in the name of science. This is like witch doctor serial killer stuff. It's awful. They don't fight back. They're docile. That's the reason why they're exploited so much, in the animal testing industry. It's awful. And they're using, not only did this guy direct our money to funding a communist-run lab that unleashed a pandemic on the world, but he's also funding all of these, directing our money in the form of grants to going to funding all of these horrific abusive tests on these sweet, sweet pups. This is witch doctor stuff. And, I mean, they even had whistleblowers with NIH say you can't extrapolate results from animals to humans with a lot of this stuff. You can't. I think it's criminal. I think every single one of them should be arrested. I think it's absolutely criminal. I am even careful about the cosmetics I use. This is the one thing where you might be like, Dana, that's a little, I don't care. I love dogs. I do not use like cosmetics. I throw out cosmetics. I found like, what is it? There are a couple of brands that I found and I won't do them. I don't even entertain anything from universities that are sending stuff to my kids where they have animal testing. I don't do that either. I am hardcore about this stuff. I'm always like, okay, well, what about, you know, the Jeffrey Epsteins and the Jeffrey Dahmers and the Ted Bundys, like, you know, the serial killers who are on death row. Why can't we substitute them for the animals and testing? Why? Tell me why. Give me one good reason. Persuade me. Why? See? Nobody has a reason. Oh, but Beagle Freedom Project, they rescue all of these, specifically beagles. It breaks my heart. I can't even hardly, I can't. I'll be depressed for the rest of the day. I can't deal with it. This is why I'm barred. I'm not allowed to go to animal shelters because I will take every dog home. I can't, or I'll never leave. What I'll do is I'll pitch a tent and I'll just sleep there and then they'll have to call the police and I'll be on cops. So that's what'll happen because I won't leave. I'm giving pets and treats. I can't help it. All right, so I'll include that link, but I don't really want to put the other link in there about the, because there's, oh gosh, it's hard on the heart. And I have this other story really quickly, and we can share more of this tomorrow. Hazard High School in Kentucky. Hazard Independent Schools, the superintendent announced an investigation is underway after photos surfaced showing students giving lap dances to staff and wearing scant clothing as part of their high school homecoming week festivities. It was the man pageant and costume day, and it was boys dressed as women, and they would undress down to their shorts, and they were grinding on the guy who was also the mayor. No joke. There's photos, and parents are losing their minds on Facebook. Reddit has a whole thread that keeps getting removed, but people keep throwing it back up. Yeah. So that's Reddit for you. Man. It's awful. The photos are awful.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Man, I'm telling you what, now more images are out. It's a school in Kentucky. It's a Kentucky high school. What in the world? What is happening in Hazard County? Kane, you cannot say what you said to me on break. It is so bad, man. Courier Journal's written about it. It's Hazard High School. They did a male beauty pageant, and it wasn't enough that it was just, you know, male. They had girls come out in Hooters outfits and strip down to bikinis and dance for the male staff that were sitting in chairs, including the principal, who's also the mayor. Some of the girls wore lingerie. This is their public assembly. This was their public assembly. And the mayor of the town, who is the principal, it's their picture getting lap dances from these students as part of their assembly. I have no words. Dude, no words. Today in stupidity.
Oh. Well, I don't have words either. Especially those
I mean, if you want to see a domestic terrorist, you know, we're going to show you terrorists. Some of these parents are going to be busting up there in Hazard County. I tell you what. Go ahead.
All right. Today, it is Jen Psaki. She is trying to convince us that Biden answers questions several times a week. Do you believe that? I don't believe that. Listen to this.
I'm wondering if we can expect to hear from the president directly on that soon, and if you could perhaps lay out his position as it currently stands on those issues.
Well, he has a couple press conferences coming up on his foreign trip. He answers questions several times a week, as you know.
What? How are you talking about Biden and saying he answers several questions a week,
or what questions answers does questions he answer? Several times what a week? Do you want to eat? Oatmeal or applesauce?
Favorite ice cream.
Yeah, what's your favorite ice cream? Like, we don't mean that. Yeah. We mean like actual, you know, policy questions. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up for that newsletter. DanaLash.com. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.